Welcome back to the Breakthrough Podcast, Discovering New Pathways. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. And my co-host over there is Leon Robinson IV. Amen.
Welcome. Hey, man. Welcome back. We at it again. Looking forward to our next guest. Let's go.
Absolutely. And as you know, we always have a special guest on the Breakthrough Podcast. But before we get to our special guest, I want to let you know about some activities that are happening at the Ride at Morgan State University. So I should say that the Breakthrough Podcast is brought to you by the Minority Business Development Agency, which is out of Washington, D.C. We're located on the campus of Morgan State, the Morgan State University. So we definitely do this podcast. We have an entrepreneurship boot camp for those organizations that are working with returning citizens. We're doing these meetups. Our meetups are going to take place the second Thursday of each month from 6 to 8 o'clock. And it'll be an opportunity for, I like what you said, Leon, opportunity for us to get the individuals that were on a podcast and in a training programs all together so that we can network with each other and support each other. It will also be an opportunity to provide some continuing education for those business owners as well. We have an annual event. And we have a relationship with a magazine called the Returning Citizen Magazine with Todd DeBose. With him, we do an article. And we also highlight organizations and individuals that are formerly incarcerated within that. So that's what we have available. And of course, we're on social media at Instagram at Ride Small Biz. All right, so that's where we are. And if you want to shoot us an email, you can shoot us an email at omar@edacmorgan.com. And past episodes are at edac, that's E-D-A-C, morgan.com. And without further ado, let's bring on our special guest. And today we have Dr. Holly Fisher Hickman, and she'll tell us more about her organization. Dr. Fisher Hickman, how are you?
I'm doing okay today.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Good deal. And welcome. So let's go right into it. You have an organization called Learning Healing Institute. So talk to us about what that is.
So I have to say this, just a bit of a personal bio. I picked up the official death certificates of my husband. So this is making it even more pivotal that we do.
Yeah.
We do this thing that I told him before he closed his eyes unexpectedly, all the different things that I'll be working on. So Learning Healing Institute Incorporated has to be birthed to its full mindset and vision. So what it is he and I sat down one day and we were speaking, and I'm going to be very honest because this is part of my narrative as well.
And that's we want people to do, to be honest on this show, Doc. All right. We want people to be honest. So yes.
And I say that because I used to be very careful of his personal narrative while he was alive, but I can say a little bit more now that he is deceased, but still living up to the legacy and respecting him as a man and as my husband. But we were sitting at the table while I was visiting him in Federal Bureau of Prisons. And I told him, I need to birth this baby. And he was like, excuse me? And I said, no, not a physical baby. And I started telling him different experiences I've had personally and professionally working with young, brilliant young men, both in DC public schools and Prince George's County public schools. So all of that conversation, he said, what you're talking about is a school to immerse our young men who are either just as involved already or going down that path. So that's the little piece of the personal caveat to Learning Healing. It is designed to work with, serve, and assist our just as involved young men or those young men who are going down that path, whether it's because of environment, decision-making, whatever the case may be, and those young men who are about to age out of foster care systems who are not ready yet. So what we're talking about is a residential boarding school. an actual school, because even though some of the more well-known lobbying organizations that talk about school and education and school to prison pipelines, and they say kids do better in their home environments, if we look at the home environments that some of our kids are a part of, it's no wonder why they're going down the path that they're going down. So this is what this brilliant man talked about, Sean Hickman Sr. He said, you're talking about a school where we can bring them out of the environment fully invested with people who love and care for them, who themselves may need a second, third, fourth chance. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that, but that's a whole nother thing. So this school is a redemption tool, not just for our target educational grouping, but for those who will serve there, those who will work there, those who will assist there. And then we're looking for champions. So LHI deals with now young men ages 13 to 21. And then when we're talking about returning citizens, we're talking about those young adult males ages 18 to 25. A lot of time they get lost in the rush. People stop at 24. But if we look at scientific research, we know the brain still is developing all the way up to 25 and sometimes beyond. We cannot let those young people go, because those are the spitfires. If we look at times in the past, my training is history, so bear with me. If we look in times past, we know that most civil rights leaders started in between 25 and beyond, usually. MLK was just about 25 when he started. So we cannot lose those young men, 18 to 25 and sometimes beyond, because we're going to miss that vibrancy that they bring and that innovation, as well as their own personal narrative to forge ahead different solutions that we cannot even imagine. Mm-hmm. So that's what Learning Healing Institute is designed to do. So we are working towards building this school, and then also having the community mentoring program that is a four-part module for our young men. So we're actively looking for mentors. We've put together our mentoring program. We've tried to speak with the city of Baltimore, still waiting to hear from them, but various different other things. So we are actively moving, trying to fulfill that mission and helping our young men and the families.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, we are in Baltimore, and I do want to say this, and I'm going to let you go ahead. So if there's anything we could do to help push that response back from Baltimore City, let us know. Because we're local, and I'm from here, born and raised, and what you just shared about your organization is beautiful. I think it's going to be amazing, and our community, the youth, we need it for sure.
Yes. Thank you. And I'm going to take you up on that. So I got a couple of offices I need you to start plugging away to that we met with earlier on. So yes, definitely.
You got it.
Absolutely. And, you know, condolences. I think we met about 3 weeks ago,
Before the Thursday, right before he passed.
Yeah. Yes, my condolences. Levon Dungey, you know, good friend of mine, and he's a friend of the podcast as well, and the RIDE program, you know, made the introduction, you know, so we're here to support that, you know. So I'm assuming, and let me not assume, let me ask the question, the residential boarding school, which I love, is it going to be for-profit or nonprofit?
It is going to be a mixture of both, and I'm going to say this. Okay. So Learning Healing Institute is a nonprofit. Uh-huh. Bits and pieces of what will be done as far as revenue making will be the for-profit arm that will help bring in monies along with other streams of income. So yes and no.
Okay.
It's somewhat like a benefits corporation, sort of.
I'm sorry?
Somewhat like a B Corp, like a benefits corporation. Gotcha.
Yes. Because in speaking with the Maryland State Department of Education, they were hesitant about using public and private funds to build the school, a non-public school. So, and because we're not necessarily dealing with special ed in the way that they think special ed, I opted to go through the route of non-public school, because there are components that our young men need that a public school by law cannot do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I want to be able, and I'll say this, as a former educator in the classroom, I used to pray over my kids. And one time, one of my students said, you know, you could get in trouble with that. I said, if I do it in here, you never know what I'm doing. And he looked at me, he said, are you praying for me right now? I said, and he said, are you praying for me or about me? I said, a little bit of both, but more for. Mm-hmm. And that struck me because that's a seventh grader.
Yeah.
Who was understanding the power of prayer. Yeah. And then he started looking at me differently. We have to be so attuned to our young people. My friends laugh at me when I say, I talk to anybody on the train or wherever. If something they're doing, I know is not what they should be doing.
Yeah.
And I say, before I approach them, I try to find something that I can say positively with a smile and an earnest smile before I approach them. Usually, 9 times out of 10, they will go and respond, yes, ma'am, okay. Mm-hmm. I may get a smile. Yeah. And then if I keep asking questions, then I get them thinking about, here's this lady that doesn't know me from Adam, and she wants the best for me. I saw all of that in that seventh grader. So if we can see that in the child that we know or that we're in front of, what kind of difference can we make with that one that we don't see every day? But that one time, that one window period of time, we say something that quickens their spirit. Mm. We have to do that for our young people, because if we don't, we will lose them at such an alarming rate that our heads will spin, because we see it every day.
Yes,
my husband and I lost our son 2 weeks after the Freddie Gray uprising. Oh, so wow. I know what it is to lose somebody right on the cusp of greatness.
Yeah.
We cannot afford, and I'm sorry, I'm choking up for a multitude of reasons.
I need to apologize. Yeah.
We cannot afford for our kids to think that no one cares because they look a little off to us,
right,
they sound a little off to us. You know, Baltimore is not home for me. Baltimore became home because my husband is a Baltimorean.
Okay.
But I became much more, I don't want to say intrigued, but much more invested when I would look at boys that look like my son.
Yeah.
And I would start going, hey, how you doing? What's up? You know, and then I'd have to put on my DC stuff. You know, y'all don't know nothing about that. But anyway.
You've heard about that.
I had to put on my DC stuff. And after a while, you see young men just want to just talk to you.
Perk up, yeah.
And just vibe with you or what have you. That's the other part of LHI, is really just letting a young person know, I see you and I want the best for you, whatever that is in that moment or past that lifetime, past our interaction. So that's the other part, because my husband and I, he was a magnet. I don't care where we were. If it was somebody that knew our son or for whatever reason, he drew people to him. And his Muslim name, Hakim, was sage. He was wise. Mm-hmm. And he would give words of wisdom prayerfully that extended past the time that we were around those young people. And now that he's gone, I'm thinking and remembering even more so just who and how he moved in these spheres. Because having done the time that he did, those of you who are not familiar, Federal Bureau of Prisons does not do parole, so the men have to do 85% of their time.
Yep.
I was with them the latter part of his time, and I watched how even the kids in the visiting room, whether his kids were visiting or not, were just drawn to us. So there's something special about him. There's something equally special about LHI. And then there's something that we have to tap into, the specialness of our young people, especially our young men.
Yeah.
We have to tap into that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do want to go back to the reason I asked if it was for-profit or nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of nonprofits that come on, and we're asking a question. You already mentioned one. You know, how can the community help or assist with the development or growth of your nonprofit?
So that's a very good question, and I appreciate that. I was just looking at a magazine, Entrepreneur, and it was talking about how Richard Dixon just kind of revamped Barbie. And I was a Barbie fiend growing up, so I get it. But I was looking at his four-part process. aside from you now know the purpose, the solution of what we're looking for, we're now looking for a multitude of design-led consumers, which means, I'm gonna put it in our terms, we need mentors, which I mentioned before. Absolutely. We need mentees. We also need those who can be champions, and champions can mean a multitude of things. It's not just monetary donations, which is necessary.
Yes.
But we need champions who are legal advocates, who are attorneys, who can fight for and help us gain land. We need champions who are former athletes. In fact, we had for a hot minute, Marshawn Lynch's piqued interest. So we need someone who knows him to get back on the board and let's have these conversations. So we need those who know the power of men being men, empowering young men, whether it's through sports, whether it's through something else, but we need that kind of champion. Then we need champions, and I'm a spiritual person, faith-based. We need folk who are praying continually because where there's obstacles, you have to figure out how to go, get over those obstacles, but we need to make this thing a birthing station for real. So, I mean, I've worked with some really nice, beautiful folk in Baltimore, and you know, people, when you talk about grassroots, they think it's still supposed to happen in 1, 2, 3. It doesn't happen. It may happen 1, 5, 20, and right. It goes up and down. And some people don't know the long haul is the long haul. So when I say long haul, this has been an idea in my spirit since 1995.
Oh, wow.
I did not meet my now husband until 2001.
Oh.
He didn't say what he said about the school until 2005. We were incorporated in 2007. So if people start following this, tracking this, right. This has been the long haul.
Right.
So this is not a fly by night. This is not, oh, I just woke up this morning and said, hey, I'm gonna work with kids.
Gotta be steadfast.
I need champions who understand long haul.
Yeah.
So if we look at it from a biblical standpoint, Moses was in training for 40 years. Joseph was in training for over 30 years. Jacob was in training for over 30. So you follow this train of thought. This is not a 10, 15 year plan. You know how we always say, what's your 3, 5, 10 year plan? It goes beyond this.
Yeah.
So we need champions who are going to be prayerful, possibly volunteers. We need someone to do social media. We need folk to work with me or be the face of it so I can go to different meetings. We need so many different things, but I'm going to just narrow it down. Mentors, we need mentees.
Yeah.
We need those who are going to contribute monetarily, big, small, and in between, because we do have that 501c3. And then we need those champions who are influencers, former athletes, folk who are praying, volunteers who have specialties in digital, social marketing, various different aspects, legal representation. So we need a multitude of things. We have a working board, but you can't put everything on your board because let's be honest, most board members are 9-to-5ers as well and have their own aspirations. So I have one board member that, and this speaks to the testament of the organization, not me, the organization. He's putting off his own 501c3 dream to get this started. I have another one who has his own consulting business for leaders. He's actively doing what he needs to do, but he's still involved with LHI. So we have a multitude of folks, but we need folk who are really concerned about our young men and want to see this happen in their lifetime and soon. We don't need another 5 years to go by, to be quite honest.
I got you. And this is going to be in Baltimore first.
Oh, no.
Oh, where's
the community mentoring program is in Baltimore and mobile. We want that to be mobile. So we're also looking for someone, if they're willing to donate a van, 7 passengers, something, because we have to understand our young people are transient. They're not going to just be in one place. And if I see someone on the street, I need to be able to pick them up and say, hey, come on, let's go. Let me get you to your mentoring session, or let me just talk to you for a minute, or whatever the case may be. The boarding school, the idea is for it to be in Eastern Shore, and I'm going to tell you why, the number one reason why. Not just to take the young people out of their environment. I'm a product of a Black boarding high school, not reformatory, Black boarding high school.
Okay.
Young people need a chance to hear a bird chirp and hear their thoughts all the way through.
Mm. Nature.
So if I asked you this morning, if I asked you today, did you hear any birds chirp today? What would be your answer?
I would say I did.
I did.
Okay, you did.
Yes.
But do you understand 13 and 14 and 15 year olds are not even thinking about a bird chirp?
Oh,
at all.
Let alone the whole thought process go all the way through from start to finish.
Yeah.
I have experienced seeing young men change in a boarding environment away from their home, mm-hmm. both as a student many, many, many years ago, mm-hmm. and then when I worked back at my alma mater. It was amazing to see these quote unquote rough thugs or whatever from New York City, Chicago, Baltimore, DC, change. The essence of who they are came out when they were able to go.
Environment, right.
Yeah.
And it's not just the environment is also the people, because we had faculty members whose houses we went over. We had faculty members that came to the dorm and stayed and studied with us until we got whatever it is they were teaching right. We had faculty members that would bring us food when our parents couldn't send us care packages. That's the kind of thing that we have to inculcate in our kids, is that even though I may not be related to you, I'm still responsible for you.
Mm.
I have a science teacher from my boarding high school experience who I can call in her 80 some years of age, and she knows my full name. Well, tell me where I'm from and then ask me, are you doing da 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 da? That's community.
That is, yeah.
And we need to start teaching our kids how to build community the right way with the right folk. So that's the other reason why it will be in Eastern Shore.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Okay, I'm glad that you gave me that clarification.
Yeah.
Good. So where are you looking to pull the young men from? The 13 and 21 year olds. Is it going to be from all over the state of Maryland and DC?
It can be from all over and DC, as well as, because I also hold a certificate of youth in custody approved by Georgetown University. Do you know that there are states that will ship their kids elsewhere if they run out of room? So there are times when these detention centers run out of room that kids are now shipped to other states. We want to have room enough so if a child from Arizona needs a placement and they can't get it in Nevada or California or nearby state, they can say, oh, we know of LHI, which is not a detained center. It is an educational center for our young people, because most people, when they think about detention centers, they have figured the kids are getting 3 square meals. They're going to school. They have some kind of enterprise. And I can tell you from research, most kids don't stay longer than 10 days actively unless they're going back and forth to jail. So when I was doing my research, I was at one facility, won't name it. A young person came in on Monday. Tuesday was intake. Wednesday, the court called them back. When did they go to school?
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
By constitutional law, we look at the No Child Left Behind Act. Now it's called the ESSEA Act because they're going back to the 60s coin. By law, the state has to give a quality education to each and every student in its environment. Does not happen. Detention centers are not designed to educate. They are simply there to house.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Ours is the reverse. We are there to educate and then also house.
Absolutely.
Because you should come out better. So let's just say a young person at 13 is sentenced to 6 months. And based on intake and everything else, this person is still in seventh grade, really, not even eighth or ninth. Hopefully, prayerfully, the idea is that person is so intuned and so well remade, reshaped, remolded, that they want to stay beyond their 6 months. They want to finish out their high school years at LHI because they have folk who are actively for them, not a paycheck, but for them. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea.
Yeah. So are you able, or will you design your own curriculum? And I'm gonna be kind of selfish with this. Mm-hmm. Would it have some aspects of entrepreneurship and some type of
literacy? Absolutely. Okay. That's part of the revenue making, is what the young people do.
Yeah. Oh wow.
They're creative.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have some other stuff in my mind. And you know, you see these lack of a better word, ClickFunnels for all these people. You come and learn how to code without, make an app without coding. Okay. Yeah, I'm not doing all of that. Cause by the time you finish that challenge, then you go, for $5,000, you too can have.
You can have this.
We can have this. But why not train our young people so they can become those particular persons?
Yes, right. Yeah.
Who are doing those things, who are creating different types of systems, not just apps, but yeah, systems where things in our communities are necessary. If we look at history, where we look at empires had aqueducts, running water. So this is pre-European monarchies. Africans had running water in their homes. Mm-hmm. You know, that was innovation. Why not teach our young people, let them remember that that's in us to do. I remember when I was teaching college and one of my students, I think he was going into the medical field. And I said, well, if you don't want to do practicing medicine, why don't you start your own hospital? And he looked at me. I said, you do know that we used to have our own hospitals, right? He said, what are you talking about? I said, look in your classroom. You got folks who are nurses. You have folks who are going in biomedical fields. You are in biomedical field. You have health administrators. I said, do you know you have a hospital right there in front of you? You just need a building?
Yep.
And he just blinked, you know, and I said, why aren't we telling our young people, this is what we had. Yeah. This was part of Black Wall Street, and every Southern state economic center was a Black Wall Street. Folks, I hope you know, it's not just Tulsa and Chicago and DC. It was in North Carolina. It was in South Carolina. It was in Arkansas, Oklahoma, all over where Black folk were. We had a combined intentional community. We need to remake those with our young people because they don't even know that we had it.
Right.
You got to remind them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So any final thoughts, and how can people reach out to you, Dr. Fisher Hickman?
So two ways you can reach out to me. And this is my email. It is Dr. Fisher Hickman, all one word, at learninghealing.org. Again, the email is Dr. Fisher Hickman at learninghealing.org, or you can go to our website, www.learninghealing.org, or those of you that want to give monetarily, whatever the amount is, you can go to givelify.com.
Givelify,
givelify.com. And you can look up Learning-Healing Institute Incorporated, and you can see our campaign. You can give until your heart's content. We would love for you to be a recurring donor. Mm-hmm. We have one that does it based on her story that fits with our story. Mm-hmm. So every month we get something that reminds her about her story. And if those of you want to give in honor of my husband, let's just say 11:15, you can use that amount. You can do 115, 15, 11, whatever. Or you can do it in the memoriam of our son who was killed at age 22. Mm-hmm. So we have an active campaign memorial, or Mem 22. Mm-hmm. So it's an assortment of ways. Or you can just email me and we can talk, sit down, because we are really looking for mentors. We have a flyer that I'll have to share with you all.
Yes.
So you can just distribute the flyer, because we also are giving mentor training. We're not just expecting you off the cuff to be able to work with our young people, because you know, our young people are lovelies. Yes. They're a little different.
Yes.
But we're looking for those who are emotionally available, and that's so important, and who are coachable. So we try to find men to train men, because you all have a different line of thinking than we do. And young men don't always need to see someone that looks like me either. They need to see someone that looks like you with a strong jawbone, but can still shed a tear when necessary and still give a hug when necessary.
Yeah.
So I want to be very clear. We're looking for male mentors who are emotionally available. That means you have to be sound and or coachable, because we will train.
All right. Good deal. Well, Dr. Fisher Hickman, thank you for coming on to the Breakthrough Podcast. So I do want to dedicate this to your husband. So give his name out, your husband and your son. Let's put it that way. So both, if you give their names out, let's give their names out.
Okay. They're both Sean Hickman, senior and junior.
Omar, you saw, see? Yeah, so we're going
to dedicate. So it's Sean Hickman Sr. and Sean Hickman Jr.
And we dedicate this podcast episode to both Sean Hickman Sr. and Jr.
Thank you.
All right, any final thoughts, Leon?
No, I was completely blessed by your session today, doctor, and truly thankful for you. And you have a blessed one, and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. Blessings to you, brothers. I appreciate you.
Likewise. All right, everybody, continue to discover those new pathways. And until we meet again, continue to improve and progress. Peace.
Peace out.
This is Bookshop Production.